This is CliffCentral.com.
I'm very excited because one of the people I met towards the end of last year is the ambassador for France to South Africa. And I met him at an event where we, Nathaniel was there. Of course, he's done a lot for making Nantes famous. It's a town in northern France, which his brother lives in, which he's been to visit regularly. They've produced a TV show. They've produced a cookbook. And Nathaniel's done quite a lot for, I suppose, making South Africans aware of the little town. It's actually quite a thriving metropolis. It's a big city, actually, Nantes. And we got to meet, and I spoke to the ambassador there and said, why don't you come in and tell us all about French-South African relations? And he's here with us this morning. Monsieur l'ambassadeur, bienvenue.
Merci beaucoup. Good
it's
morning,
nice
Gareth.
To have you here. Sure.
Thank you for the invitation.
What an absolute pleasure. Lots and lots of South Africans go to France. France is, isn't it still the world's number one tourist destination for all other countries, or is it top three?
It's
still number one?
Yes, yeah, still number one. And we don't have the final figures, but for 2018, we must have had around 90 million tourists, which is, of course, more than our population, basically.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so we'll see.
And South Africans, are there a lot of South Africans who go to France?
Well, you're not ranking number one, but yes, there are more and more of you, and we are happy, more than happy to have you there. And I think the figures are about 150,000 South Africans going to France every year, more or less, and a rising figure. So it's good news, and you go there not just for the beach or the usual stuff that some Europeans want to see. You want to see more of it and the cuisine, of course, and you know, a more cultural way of seeing France, which is good.
Absolutely. I mean, France has got this incredible history, this incredible culture. I'm myself a fan of French history and French culture, and I think that the language is beautiful, and I think that the people are very interesting, and there's such a diversity within France too that you can't really just say French people are X, Y, and Z. There's such a variety of nuanced culture between the different provinces and the different areas of France. Obviously, there are lots of things about France that make South Africans feel very at home there. There are a lot of South Africans who are of French descent in one way or another.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There are lots of French people who come to South Africa regularly. We have good trade relations. Our governments get along well. Obviously, being in Africa, there are a lot of other countries in Africa that speak French, that have very strong relationships with France too. So I would imagine there's plenty to talk about. And there are also South Africans who own property in France and vice versa.
More and more, yes.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting relationship. Would you say that French and South African relations are in a very good place at the moment?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. Just to get back to what you've just said, in fact, just an example, since Nelson Mandela, every French president has come to South Africa and every South African president has been to France, and in very, very good terms all the time. So, no, for us, for France, South Africa is what we call a strategic country. So it implies a lot of high-level meetings, but also common interests in many ways, very strong economic relations, and as you mentioned, historically, culturally, it's very complex, but very rich as well. So there's a lot of stories. And to tell you, as you mentioned, this is not a Francophone country. So when you're in France and you talk about Africa, people think more of Francophone countries, mm-hmm. and but South Africa has an image of its own. You see, it's a very, very well-established country in the French psyche, in the way that we all know about what happened at the beginning of the 90s and all that story about, yes, Nelson Mandela remains the reference, and everybody knows that it's such a beautiful country. So it's a strange mix. In a way, it's not exactly what people would expect, but definitely a lot is happening. It's very dynamic, and well, my job, of course, is to make it even more dynamic.
Well, it must be an interesting job to do. I mean, you certainly meet lots of interesting people. You get to hear stories. You get to encourage business between France and, mm-hmm. and South Africa, which I'll talk to you about in a second. But you've been ambassador now for just on 2 years or just short
Absolutely,
of 2 years?
Yes, yeah, 2 years, just a few days after my second the deadline of my second year in this country. So just beginning my third year.
And you obviously knew a lot about South Africa before you got here, because you've been in the diplomatic corps for some time. But Is it as exciting as you hoped it would be? Are the people friendly? Are we treating you well? I mean, it's a two-way relationship. We expect to be treated well when we go to France, but are we treating you well?
Absolutely. I think that so far so good in many ways, by the way. You mentioned the fact that there's a lot of interesting people in this country. I can confirm that. And once again, in every field, because, you know, being an ambassador, you have to meet with politicians, you have members of government.
Sure.
Diplomats, of course, but also artists, business people, and specialists in every field. And I must say that this country is amazing, and I mean it. My team could tell you it's a real pleasure to be here, and this is also why our cooperation is so rich. It's because there is a reason for these cooperations, you know, be it in archaeology, oceanography, to talk about this kind of very exciting fields, but also, you know, when you talk about economic exchanges, it's high level. We have a lot of innovation projects, and once again, not just based on political will, but also that because the private sector wants it, and I think it's an excellent test for the credibility of what's happening here. So when you take it as a whole, it's really, really exciting.
Now, what are the particular areas where South Africa and France are cooperating, not just in terms of business, but even research, areas of mutual interest? What are those sectors? What are those areas that we do a lot of work together in?
Well, there are many, but just not to be boring for your listeners, let me give you one example. I mentioned innovation, but just in high tech, for instance, in space, mm-hmm. the space sector, which is so exciting. You were mentioning Yoda a few minutes ago, so it's not Star Wars yet, but still, we do a lot, for instance.
I did not expect to be discussing Star Wars with the French ambassador.
Well, it would be a delight, you know. It's been a reference for me for years and years. Anyway, so there is now, South Africa is playing a key role at the continental level for satellites, the first nano satellites, you know, these tiny satellites, but which are so powerful. It's the new generation. And so South Africa is ahead of the rest of the continent. And precisely, it is a South African project and a South African choice. But technically, it's based on a cooperation with French researchers as well. And also at CPUT, Cape Town, mm-hmm. they had a ceremony for the pre-launch, and now it's been launched for ZCube-2, which was the new generation of nanosatellites. It's very small, by the way. It's 10 centimeters by 10 centimeters by 30 centimeters.
So these would be much easier to launch into space, much less costly to get up into space, and then obviously you can imbue them with all kinds of technological innovations, which allow us to share satellite signals, to share information, to bounce things up around the atmosphere, and obviously to obtain information as well.
Yeah, so you see, it's exciting, and it was, so that's happening now, basically, and I'm very, very happy that French researchers, French people from universities cooperated for that. So that's one example. Another one, once again, to be in an interesting field is climate change studies. Because, you know, because if it's a very special situation, South Africa has experts in oceanography where you can study the currents, because the climate changes have an influence on the currents in the oceans. And so we have a French-South African team working on these currents and trying to see how the climate change model works with these currents, because then we all know that we are at risk and we must do more to make sure that our children will live in good conditions. But we have to know more about what's happening, because we don't know well enough what the actual situation is. And precisely, we have a team, and so that time it's not at CPUT, it's at UCT. Better to see that a French South African team working on these models, etc., oceanography, which is great. I mean, you see, this is just one more example, but we could go on and on many, many fascinating topics.
Also, who are the major French corporations and businesses that have involvement in South Africa, and which South African businesses are involved in France?
So now you're talking more about the economic sector. Well, it's huge for France. South Africa is the first trade partner in sub-Saharan Africa, so it means a lot. So it means trade, but it also means investment, and so we have close to 400 French companies which have invested here and which are present. And so with as a whole, it's about slightly less than 40,000 employees, local employees mainly.
Incredible. Not French.
Yes, yeah. It's big. And so you have all the big names, you know, Airbus and Total and people like that, the the famous French brands, let's say, but you also have in the retail sector companies like Decathlon or Leroy Merlin. Who Leroy Merlin is a do-it-yourself brand, and so they have just arrived now in the country, but they are doing well and they want to invest more.
Well, is that like a furniture assembly,
exactly,
do-it-yourself, that kind of thing? Almost
exactly,
like an IKEA type thing.
Exactly. That was, and it was, yes, it was launched here in Johannesburg recently, a few weeks ago, and so, but it's just the beginning of a long series of what I hope will be successes. And so, but beyond that, we have also small and middle-sized enterprises, including, as I mentioned to you, startups. Mm. And this is, for me, something which is very telling, once again, about the potential of this country. You have a lot of young French entrepreneurs who decide to come to Cape Town or Joburg and invest in high-tech startups, which have to do with the digital sector mainly, but not just that. And I think we have lots of great stories to tell. And once again, it is just to cooperate with young black entrepreneurs. So we have quite a number of successful stories. And it could go and on and on. And we have also people, for instance, investing now in wine estates in near Stellenbosch. So you could take many examples of what's going on. No, really, it's very rich. Vice versa, we have now quite more and more South African companies exporting to France. But the thing is that we need more South African investments in France. So please, ladies and gentlemen, if you intend to invest in France, feel free to contact us and we can give you hints and help you to think it over. But no, the relationships, the economic relationships are very, very dynamic again. And so with and the good news for South Africa is that recently the South African exports to France were growing faster than the French exports to South Africa.
Oh, very good. That's impressive. We like that. That's a good sign, particularly because we're looking for economic growth wherever we can get it.
Definitely.
If we can export to countries like France, that's a very, very good sign indeed. Okay, so let's just talk about your career for a second, because that in itself is very, very interesting. You were in Cairo back in 1994,
yeah,
when all the things that were happening in South Africa were happening. So you were at least on the continent. But you've been the French permanent representative to the European Union in Brussels. That must have been fascinating. I want to hear your thoughts on that. You've been in Amman in Jordan. You've been in Greece, in Athens. I mean, it sounds to me like a very, very interesting career. But your family must be tired of traveling.
Yes, definitely. Well, just in Brussels, I was not the permanent representative, by the way, but I worked with the European Union Special Envoy to the Middle East. So I was based in Brussels, working on the famous Middle East peace process.
You speak Arabic as well.
Yeah, well, I'm supposed to, but you know, it makes you, the more you speak Arabic, the more you know that you will never speak it well. So yes, but I learned Arabic, I learned Greek, and a few other languages. But
as you say, I feel the same way about French. I often think that I can speak French until I get there, and then I realize that I can't. But by the end of any trip to France, I usually speak a lot better than when I arrived.
Excellent. So you should go there more and more, etc. No, yes, it was. These countries, all these situations were fascinating. That's the good thing, you see, when you're a diplomat, you get to know more people, new cultures. You realize how important this multicultural dialogue is, because nowadays you talk more and more about globalization. But you cannot, on the one hand, talk about globalization as just emphasizing the growing speed of economic exchanges, etc., and not taking into account the cultural dimension. And I think it's a very, not just fascinating topic, but key for the future, because the risks of misunderstandings are huge, huge.
Absolutely. I mean, French has always been the language of diplomacy, and the French have kind of set the standard for how diplomacy can be executed effectively and do good things and do useful things around the world. But the model, what I'm trying to understand is that you're not a political appointment. If you're in the diplomatic corps, you work for whoever is the government of France. Is that right?
So, yes, yes.
So in other words, it's a profession rather than just a political appointment. For example, if America, if the president of the United States changes, they have the prerogative to actually change the ambassador in any country, as has happened here. With France, it's a profession. You can be a diplomat and be posted anywhere in the world by that government. Doesn't matter who the president is.
Well, in fact, it's in between.
Oh?
Well, our system is close to what you're describing, but for ambassadors, it remains the decision of the president. So In fact, it's not the American spoil system, definitely, but it's a bit in between. Normally, it's really not so much a political side, although it's taken into account, but it's also it's quite personal. And clearly, when you're appointed as the ambassador to a country, and the bigger the country, the more important that element is each time. So it has to go through. It's really a decision by the minister and the president.
So, do you have if you had to get hold of President Macron, you could call him on your cell phone?
Well, theoretically, yes.
No,
yes, you're right, you're right.
You could.
I could. Technically, I could. Well, practically, I would call his advisors first, you know.
Sure.
The way we work is you contact the team.
Certainly.
And that I do quite often, in fact, you know, because it's really part of the job. That's why you're the ambassador. You must be able to do it. Otherwise, there could be a problem. And so, yes, so you're in touch with the, as for us, we call it the Élysée, as you know, the
Élysée Palace
is where the president is. So I'm in touch. I'm very regularly in touch with the Élysée Palace, definitely.
Because they also, this is something that people... Maybe they understand this role as you know, part of what the ambassador has to do, but you are also there to provide information about South Africa to France and to provide South Africans with information about France. So you become this conduit. You're not just there to shake hands and make sure that trade deals happen and all of those things. You're actually the first port of call if someone in the French government needs to know what's happening here from a national security point of view, from a trade relations point of view, from an intel point of view. You're the guy.
Well, yes. Well, with my team.
Yes, of
because
course.
Because just, well, of course, the
not
ambassador...
Just one person sitting in a room on his own.
The ambassador is by definition the person in charge. And so with the good sides and the bad sides, if there's any, because so if there are risks, they're also for you. But yes, definitely, you have to rely on the team. And your team is, of course, composed of people who themselves know that they have to know the country and be experts in their fields. But yes, absolutely, what you describe is the job nowadays. And, you know, I think that, well, now for years, you have people saying, well, look, we don't know diplomats. We don't need diplomats anymore because there is the internet, there are planes, there's telephone. Well, my answer is that it's the contrary. The more you have relations worldwide, the more you need people there to know what's happening and to help you understand the nuances and the risks at times, because you always have different ways of seeing things, of understanding them, and there are topics that you do not just brought like that via one email. You have to talk about
it. It requires like some sensitivity sometimes, there are huge cultural implications and implications which can lead to very good or very bad relations being entrenched between countries if it isn't handled by someone who has a sensitivity for these things, which is why we like to have our own ambassadors all over the world and why France obviously likes to have its ambassadors everywhere, because these are if you're sitting opposite someone and you can discuss something with them face to face, there is a greater chance that you won't communicate past each other, right?
Yes, exactly.
These things matter. They actually have massive, profound effects.
Oh, yes. Eye contact is key. It has always been, and it's still now. And in many ways, by the way, it's not just nice things to say. It's it's a reality. Even when you have to negotiate, even when you have to feel what's happening, it's I think very important. You know, it's this intuition part of the role which is key. You can read all the explanations you want in a brief, even if the brief is a good one. It's always different when you're on the ground and you talk to people.
And obviously the first sign of relations between any two countries going wrong is when their diplomatic relations break down.
Well, normally things have deteriorated before that, so the aim is precisely to avoid calling your ambassador back home, as we say.
Yeah.
But normally diplomats are the last ones who will talk to the enemy, but let's say to the ones with whom you have problems. Normally we should be able to talk to them to the last minute and sometime beyond, which is both exciting and not that easy.
So what sort of a week do you have, an average week, does an ambassador in your particular role between France and South Africa, what does your week look like? Do you have the same week every week? Is it always different? Does it involve a lot of travel? Does it involve endless meetings? What's the best part? What's the worst part? I want to know what the job is like.
Well, the best part is precisely what you've just mentioned. In fact, this is diversity, because it has to do with sometimes you have to focus on some geopolitical analysis. Sometimes you have to work on your serious economic report, but then you have to meet people at a reception, be nice to them, listen to them, and then you have to go. I think we have to go and see people on the ground a lot, which is interesting, and in all fields once again. So it varies. It varies a lot, and I like this. This mix of very concrete elements, very humane relations, and more strategic thinking and more strictly diplomatic element. When sometimes you have to go to DIRCO here, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, with whom we, mm-hmm. with which we have a very strong relation to carry out very official démarches, where you know that your talking points are what they are, and you have to stick to the official line. But then in the evening you can bestow an award, and then it's very different, of course, and it's made also to, of course, to emphasize the qualities of the person who is honored, but at the same time you meet with people and make new friends, etc. So it's this constant mix. But I think it's a lot of work, basically. And
sure.
I think if you're a good diplomat, it should not show too much, but otherwise it wouldn't be pleasant for others. But it is a lot of work, basically, yes.
I believe there's a very interesting situation that we've got. We're one of only six countries with whom France has one of these framework charters for partnership. Is that true? A very, very peculiar and quite meaningful relationship.
We have, I'm not sure about the document you're talking about, to be honest. But yes, we have a partnership agreement with the country. We have a lot of, by the way, we have a lot of agreements between the two countries, but yes, in Africa and even beyond, there is this special relationship, because what's happening is that once again, you cannot talk about what's going on in the world and just not focusing on who your key partners might be. And your partners, of course, for France, Europe is a key partner, and all the countries within Europe, yes.
Certainly.
But then the world is wide, and so you need also to have close friends or close partners all over the world in key areas. And so these must be countries which have a weight of their own, clearly, because there must be powers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so there must also be countries which share your values. And so when then taking this criteria into account to try to look at the world map, there are not so many countries. And so clearly for Africa, South Africa is a key partner. And it goes beyond the continent, because on issues like climate change, for instance, which I mentioned before, clearly you cannot carry the day. Yes, you cannot carry the day on your own. And so as was shown over the last years, South Africa and France were key partners. There was this COP17 in Durban a few years ago. Then there was COP21 in Paris, where the Paris Treaty was signed, and it's going on. But I was clearly told that when the Paris Treaty was signed in 2015, the very last hours of negotiations were with South Africa as a key partner. South Africa was, I was told, among the very, very crucial partners who helped to get to that agreement. It was France, it was South Africa, and it was the United States. And so, you see, these are, so once again, having key partners does not mean that we agree on everything. Thank God, because every country has its own interests. But it means that these are countries with which we can have a special relation and build on it for a series of very important topics. So that's South Africa and France, I hope.
Well, you mentioned Paris and the climate talks in Paris not so long ago that most of the countries signed it. Of course, America didn't, as it turns out. But Paris is also, your children are in Paris.
Yes, absolutely.
How many kids do you have?
Three. 21, 18, and 14 years old.
You speak to them every day?
Yes, thanks to WhatsApp and Skype.
Yeah, before it must have been a little bit tougher to do that.
Definitely. You know, you mentioned Syria, for instance, when you started. Yeah. And yes, that was the first embassy where I spent some time. And clearly, it's about 4 hours by flight from Paris, but it was in the beginning of the 90s. And so the feeling was that you were much farther from France in Syria 25 years ago than when you're in Cape Town or in Pretoria today. where it's 11 hours flight, but
at least the time zones are a little bit
time
closer.
Zone, yeah, exactly, and these new technologies help a lot.
Isn't it awful what's happened in Syria in the last couple of years? I mean, it probably would be indistinguishable from the place that you knew in the 90s.
Definitely. And it's such a fascinating country. But yes, absolutely. It's a long topic. We could spend an hour talking about Syria. But what I hope is that now it will, little by little, that we will find a settlement. But it's very, very, very complicated for many reasons. The country itself is a complicated one, but the role played by everyone around it is not... doesn't make things simpler. Anyway.
Now let's talk about tourism, because South Africans do love going to France for various reasons, and obviously Paris is the number one place that they like to visit. But where would you tell people if we wanted some inside info on what kinds of things we need to see in France that most people overlook or don't think of? Where would you like to tell people to go and see?
Well, there are
parts
a lot
of France they don't know about.
Well, everybody thinks of Paris, of course, and the French Riviera, for instance. But I think there's many, many other things in other regions. For instance, but it does not apply so much to South Africans, because you know it. But the Southwest, for instance, from Bordeaux to Toulouse and Mediterranean, is a great region where the food is excellent. The
wine is terrific.
Wine is excellent as well, but and a lot of history and culture and the landscapes are great. It has to do, you see, it's a kind of continuum from Italy to south of France to Spain in a way. So it's mixed. It's France, but southern France. It's at its best, I think. But, you know, all the regions are very interesting. And
you've got the French Alps. You've got the Alsace area, which is magnificent.
Absolutely.
Northern France, which is beautiful. There's also lots of history there.
Exactly. Lille is a gorgeous city. And it's since it's the north of France, people often think of its supposedly bad weather. But it's not that bad, and it's really, really great. And but then it's interesting because, in fact, you should go from one end to the other end of France, because then you would realize that we really are, in a way, at the center of European culture. Because when you're in Lille, it looks like Brussels or Amsterdam in a way. And then when you go to Marseille or Toulouse, clearly, as I said, you're much closer to Tuscany or to Spain, you see. So and it's still France, and so there are...
Where are you from in France?
I'm from a small city between Toulouse and the Mediterranean. But to my great surprise, I realized that quite a number of South Africans know it, because it's a city well known for its rugby team. It's Castres. Which is in the top 14.
Now for
25 years I was a diplomat and nobody knew where I was from when I mentioned it. And since I've been here, every time I mention Castres, there's someone knowing about it. So, which is quite surprising, really. But yes, so it's a small city, nice one, but particularly well known for its rugby team.
And in France, where do you live?
Well, as many diplomats do, I stay in Paris when I'm there. Because the ministry is in Paris, so if I go back to France, it's to have a position at the ministry, and so I live in Paris.
Are you the tallest ambassador in South Africa? Because I mentioned you to someone else in the diplomatic service here from another country, and they said, oh, yes, the French ambassador, he's that very tall man.
Well, I didn't check, but I think so.
There's a competition you probably won, right?
Sounds plausible.
Tell me, what kinds of things in South Africa have you been able to do in your so far 2 years?
Wow.
Have you seen some things here you really like?
Yes. Well,
you've already been very complimentary about the people. How about the place?
Oh, it's the same, I mean, but it will be no news, but everybody knows it. But yes, part of my job, and it's not the worst part, is to know the country, to go to visit. So I went, of course, to the Cape of Good Hope, which
Beautiful.
Is, well, of course, yes, as every visitor, I think. It was, you know, on my maps when I was... a kid at school, etc., and it's such a great name and everything. So it's the tip of southern tip of Africa. Even if, in fact, yes, I know it's not exactly.
Galles is more south, but yeah,
exactly,
we get the idea. Yeah,
absolutely. So that and you're not disappointed, I must say. It's an incredible job that is being done by the Bassin Parks as well. So the scenery is gorgeous and so well maintained. So, but I went also, for instance, between Christmas and New Year's Day, I was in Durban, and I like the area a lot. And as everybody, I've been to a series of game reserves, and I've never been disappointed either. So you see, it's and I went by road back from Cape Town to Pretoria last year, and it was gorgeous as well. You know, that road, you're going through Karoo, and everywhere. So really nothing to complain about. And well, the country is huge, so I admit that I haven't seen enough yet. So.
Well, you've only got, you know, you had 2 years. Give yourself a break. tell me the French community in South Africa, because there are a lot of French people who live in South Africa. There are also lots of South African people who consider themselves to be French, either because they, they're regular visitors or because they have family in France or because they go there and live there for part of the year. And there are places in South Africa that are virtually like France, like Franschhoek. I mean, it's even got France in the name. So there are obviously literary elements, there are artistic elements, there are things that many South African performers have to do with France and South Africa. So there's a thriving community here. Do we know how big the French community in South Africa is?
Yes, well, it depends. Usually we talk about the people who are registered at the consulates, you know, to be a bit technical. And so we have two consulate generals, to be precise, one in Joburg and one in Cape Town. And so if you add both communities, it's about 9,000 people registered. So, and as a rule of thumb, we consider that normally only half of the community is registered. So, in a way, you could expect that we have a little less than 20,000 French people living in South Africa. It's not a confirmed figure, but just to think about it a little. And in a more precise way, once again, around 9,000 registered people. So, which is not that big, but still, it's significant.
It's not insubstantial.
No, yes, and it's good because it's a mix of expatriates, in particular related to these companies I mentioned before, but also people who came from various venues and who come to this country, either because they had married a South African or sometimes for business, but on a more private basis they decided to stay. So it's a very diverse community and very, very interesting, I must say. And once again, the bigger half is in. Is in Joburg and a little in Durban. It's the same consulate general. And the smaller half, but once again, I'm talking about halves because it's fairly balanced, is in around Cape Town and around Cape Town.
So obviously South Africa's biggest trading partner is the EU, and South Africa has quite a lot to do with the European Union. There's this whole thing going on with Britain at the moment and Brexit, and how that's going to affect the rest of Europe, we're not entirely sure yet. They're still trying to decide how it'll affect Britain. And they can't even come to an agreement on that, but let's leave it alone for the moment. Are you confident that the EU and France's association with and membership of the EU is a fairly stable thing? That's not going to change anytime soon?
Oh, no, yes. Well, I'm sure, yes. I think it's, as you know, the European Union was not just a French project, but France played a key role, and then it was the answer to all that we had done through the world wars. And so it was a long-term project. We launched it with the Germans, and it's been a huge success, basically. And the real problem is not the EU, it's the perception that people have about it. They know more about its difficulties, which are real, by the way, but and less about its successes, which are huge. And I think that the European Union, despite the current doubts, will go through it. We've been through that before. And, well, you mentioned the decision taken by our British friends. I think it's very unfortunate, but we respect their choice. And, well, let's see how it goes. No, but the coming year will be a strategic one, in a way. Well, and these very days, as you know, are very important. We will see what comes out of the British Parliament. But, no, definitely, the European Union remains a key project. It has brought a lot, not just to Europe, but even to its partners, because, you know, that's the challenge and also the choice we make. Because when you create such an entity with its weight, which is not just economic, it's also a cultural weight in a way. It brings a lot, not just to the countries which are inside, but also to the partners outside, because it facilitates a lot of things, a lot of cooperations. And yes, the EU is the first partner of South Africa, but once again, it's not just economic. It has to do with many, many other fields, scientific, once again, technical, everything. So yes, no, we must do it. But clearly, it won't improve if we do not decide to push for it. So interesting.
Well, Ambassador, thank you for coming to spend some time with us this morning. I hope that continued relations between South Africa and France prosper, and that we have loads of positive interactions going forward. It's a great pleasure to have you here and to hear your thoughts on what that relationship is, on what South Africans might need to know about France and what France needs to know about South Africa. And you're here for some time still.
I hope so, yes.
So I hope we'll see you again soon.
With great pleasure. Avec grand plaisir. Yeah. Thanks,
Merci
Gareth.
Beaucoup.
Thanks.
C'est gentil à vous.
Je vous en prie. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.